The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. We are rocking and rolling here till 8 p.m. Got Jeff Nowak, St. Sideline Reporter, on the line now. After him, we'll be talking some Pels with credentialed NBA writer Ali Cosell. Jeff, happy to have you always on the show. And looking at the Saints injury report today, no surprise, obviously, with Derek Carr being out. But I think a lot of Saints fans kind of held their breath a bit when you saw that Alvin Kamara was not practicing. The good news, at least it was just an illness, and he's expected to be back in the mix tomorrow.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anything significant for Alvin. Hey, it was cold out there. Maybe it's not something. But the only big question this week, obviously, DeMarco Jackson got hurt during that game, went out. We'll see how he goes. But you have players that can fill in for DeMarco on special teams. Not going to be a huge issue. But Derek Carr, still in concussion protocol. Darren Rizzi said today that it's not a setback. He hasn't had any setbacks in the protocol. He's working his way through it. And it's going to be a question of whether he can get back on the field, how he is able to function on the field when he does get back on the field. But right now it's Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler. They split reps today. We don't know exactly how those reps were split. Darren Rizzi said it would be fair to call it a competition in terms of, you know, how they perform this week in practice is going to factor into who gets the nod as the starting quarterback, whether it's gamesmanship, whether they actually aren't leaning one way or another right now. It's tough to say for sure, but that's going to be something we have to watch all week.
Looking at the Commanders injury report, I want to ask you here, something I've never seen before since covering the NFL, and listed the last person on their injury list, Andrew Wiley, the tackle. It says injury is game day CPE. And I'm guessing that means concussion protocol elevation, but I was just perplexed by that and was wondering if you knew if that's correct or am I tripping?
It's concussion protocol something. I don't know the exact acronym we're talking about, but I think what's going on is, so Andrew Wiley went into the concussion protocol ahead of the bye week. He was in the concussion protocol for week 13, and my guess is he's basically cleared the concussion protocol.
Right, because he was full of practice.
Weeks. Yeah, so I think that's just their way of saying he's cleared the concussion protocol, but he has to be listed as something. Either way, that's what it is. It's just a strange way to designate that he's in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, it was definitely, like I said, it was puzzling to see that.
The first thing I got the injury report on my phone. I was like, what does that even mean? And asked the communications guy, and he was like, yeah, it just means he's in the concussion protocol. But I think that's what it is, because they're in the bye week. He cleared, like, you can't technically clear it, but he probably went through all the steps and was cleared by the independent neurologist or whatever. So I'd expect him to play. But yeah.
Yeah, you learn something every day, I guess, like they say. Looking at this black and gold bunch as they get ready for a Week 15 matchup against the Commanders, the running back situation, we talked a little, obviously, Alvin Kamara dealing with the illness right now, but a bright spot last week was seeing the return of Kendra Miller, hoping he can continue to build on that performance because obviously this team needs any playmaker they can get at this point, but he's someone that you've seen the talent, you see a different kind of energy when he's on the field. Obviously, he's very rested right now, and just hoping he can be more of a factor in this offense going forward, especially, like I said, this game against the Commanders, they're going to need a ton of help, whoever's at quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing for Kendra. And obviously, it's great that he had that debut with the touchdown and a lot of nice moments. There's at least three or four runs that were impressive. He generated three or four more yards probably than you might have thought were there. And that's what he's able to do. He's kind of a dirty work runner. He'll find gaps that might not exist, you know, and that's important for a team to have, right? But it's tough because you can't really say, okay, yeah, he's where we need him to be. Because his issue has been availability, and what I need to see from him over the final four games is four games, right? Like, I need to see him be available and to stack positive performances together. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, guys get hurt. You can roll an ankle. You could do whatever at any point, and it's not really your fault, but it'll build a lot of confidence going into the offseason, whatever that looks like. If he can get through the rest of the season and just stack some quality games together. I think the touch distribution was like 17 to 10. Alvin got 17 carries. Kendra got 10. They both got some targets in the passing game. I would expect that to be the ideal, you know, probably pretty close to 2-1 Alvin to Kendra, but he'll be the pretty clear cut number two. Jamal Williams will work in as makes sense. But no, I think that's a good start for him. Definitely kind of get the rust off. You know, one of the things I asked him after the game was, you know, if it felt good to just get hit. Because, you know, when you haven't been out there for a while, and he hadn't been out there since week eight, he missed the first seven games or six games of the season. You know, I think it takes a little while to kind of get your legs under you. And he said basically there was a play where he was targeted. He didn't even catch the ball, but he got hit in the back of the head. And he was like, all right, I'm back. I'm in the game now. Hopefully I have high hopes. I'm hoping that at least one or two of these games, you can see a big performance from him where he kind of is the hot hand and you keep feeding him. Cause you can see the talent. Like, that's something Darren Ridley said. It's true. When you see him out there, it doesn't take, I think anyone who kind of understands what they're watching will be like, that's a talented football player. Like, you can just see him do stuff that is like, okay, this is what good football players do. And you just, you know, you're rooting for him because, you know, anytime you have a young player who's been dealing with injuries, it can be very frustrating and you don't want to be like, oh, it's a bust, right? You know, like, but you have to turn it around at some point. And this feels like a good time for Kendra to do that.
Okay, well, on the other side, Jeff, I'm looking at Jaden Daniels. A big issue that I think the Saints will have won't be his passing game. I think it'll be his running game. We're talking about a Saints defense that, yeah, they've done a lot better this year on stopping scrambling quarterbacks, but Bo Nix dropped 75 on you. Drew Lock dropped 59 last week, and it probably would have been more had he not ran sideways that one play. Jaden Daniels is going to drop a crap ton on us. What are you expecting? How can we stop that? How can we curb that? How can we lessen it if it's going to happen at all?
Yeah, I talked to Tyrann Mathieu about this today, and a lot of it, you know, it's you can't change what you're doing. Like, you have a scheme, and you kind of have to run your stuff, right? But you have to be very disciplined. You have to make sure he doesn't stretch things out to the edge of the field and find that seam, because that's where Drew Lock's rushing yards came from. They weren't designed runs. They were, okay, he's scrambling, trying to throw, and then, you know, you're in man-to-man coverage, and you're running downfield, so... It can be tough, and you know, I think it's, you know, the running part is an issue, and that's what makes defending the pass more difficult. But he's also completing 70% of his passes this year, and that's where Jaden Daniels becomes very difficult to play because he's not just a threat to run. He also has an elite arm, an elite arm talent, and receivers who can beat you downfield. Terry McLaurin's having a great year. They lost Noah Brown to a kidney injury.
That was
another one that stood out
in the injury report.
Yeah, and so he's not going to be out there. They did. They signed KJ Osborne. They claimed him off waivers, so there's a chance he gets out there. But No, I mean, it's going to be, you know, all hands on deck, right? Like, you got to tackle at the edges of the field. You can't miss tackles at the edges of the field. He's going to get some yards. Like, you're not going to be able to shut him down completely. But you have to contain it, and you have to do that on the money downs, right? Like, where it will become an issue is not, oh, it's first down, he runs for 10 yards, whatever. It's going to happen. You live with it. It's going to be the third and 12s where you shut everything down and he's able to just extend, and then run for a first down, because those are backbreakers for a defense. Third and long has to be the get off the field downs. And when those turn into, with a mobile quarterback, you're defending, you've got everyone covered up, and then he just runs for 13 on third and 12. You know, those are the plays that turn what would be a successful defensive drive into a, now we're exhausted, now we've been on the field all half, now they're putting points up when we should have been able to get off the field. So I think that's going to be the story of the game. If you can get off the field on third down, regardless of how you do it, you're going to give yourself a chance. If the Commanders are just constantly just executing 7, 10, 15 play scoring drives, you're going to lose.
No, I'm looking at it, and I'm right there with you. We had Brad Evans on earlier from BetMGM, and he was talking about how the line for his yards over under is set at like 40. He averages 45 a game. He's probably going to go over. He actually, as I'm looking right now, he has 20 less yards per game on average than Brian Robinson Jr., but he has the same amount of first downs at 36. So, right. Stop him as much as you can. It's not going to be the end of the world if he does run for a crap ton, but, you know, keep him in line a little bit, Steve.
For me, everyone's, you know, talking about, obviously, a Marshawn Lattimore revenge game. We know he's a full go of practice today. Looks to be on track to be coming back to the Superdome for this matchup on Sunday. But on the Saints side of the ball, defensive end Chase Young was the second overall pick in 2020 by this Washington squad. Hopefully, he can dial up some more of those pressures against Jaden Daniels and the rest of this squad, because he's been a big piece, I feel like, in this defense. The last couple of weeks has really started to turn things on. Hasn't obviously gotten a ton of sacks, but at least those pressures has been there to speed up the clock in the quarterback's head. Obviously, containing Jaden Daniels, though, is another issue.
Yeah, that's been my issue with the defensive line. It's not necessarily generating pressure. It's kind of hemming the quarterback in and not letting them escape that pressure. And that's where, you know, Drew Lock runs for 59 yards. It's not because he's this incredibly mobile quarterback. He's a good athlete. But it's because, you know, you get upfield and then you allow lanes, and then you get kind of rushed. You rush by him and he can escape out the backside. And that happens a little bit too much. But, no, I agree with that. I think Chase, you know, 3.5 sacks, you'd love that number to be higher. He didn't get a sack in that game, and it's not for lack of being in range to get a sack. And that's kind of, you know, it's tough because you don't want to say, oh, well, the sacks don't matter. But if you do everything and blow up a play and the guy gets the ball off and it's a dead play, it's still a successful pass rush. And there was, you know, I went through the film, most of the film this morning. I haven't gotten completely through it yet. But, you know, there was at least 3 or 4 plays in the first half alone where it felt like, okay, this play was blown up. Like, this had no chance of succeeding. And all that happened was Drew Lock was able to just flip it into the dirt and avoid a sack. But there was no chance that the play got completed or the pass got completed. So, like, you almost need a stat for that, because sometimes pressures are misleading. You can have a pressure, but if he completes it for 30 yards down the field, the pressure didn't really do much, right? So that's why the pressure number itself is tough to gauge of, like, okay, how effective are you being? In that game, you know, Drew Lock was on his back constantly. But no, it is. I think it is going to be a motivated Chase Young in this game to kind of get back, not to get back at his former team, but, you know, I this is something I talked to Tyron about. He's been in this situation multiple times where he's gone back and faced a former team. For him, it's interesting because I don't think it's ever happened where the next season after leaving, he's gone back and played that team. It always seems to be like 1 or 2 years later. So if there's any animosity over that departure, it's a little softer. With a Marshawn Lattimore, literally his first game played for Washington is against the team that traded him, because he's been out for the last, what, 3 games, 4 games? And it just so happens that his first start for his new team is going to be in the building where he played all of his home games for the first 6 years of his career, 7 years of his career. So that's going to be kind of fascinating to watch and see how much he's used. Does he have a full allotment of reps? Do they have him on a snap count? But you can imagine he's going to want to put together a good showing in that game. And I'm sure, you know, you'd like to say, hey, the Saints wide receivers are going to love to go out there and kind of get one on him. But, I mean, how many of the Saints wide receivers were actually even teammates with Marshawn Lattimore when he was here, right? My MVS, they kind of passed like ships in the night. Kevin Austin Jr. was on the practice squad. Dante Pettis, I mean, they didn't really have any interaction. So there isn't really, even the young quarterbacks, it's not like they've spent a ton of time going against them in practice. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to go the same way. Like, I don't think there's going to be a lot of players on the Saints offense that are like, oh, let's go after Marshawn. But it's going to be, if he gets a couple interceptions in that game or makes a few big plays, he's going to definitely let him hear it.
Always appreciate you, Jeff. Be talking to you tomorrow morning when we start recording the Inside Black and Gold podcast. You can check out Jeff's work, WWL.com. He's got the latest injury report up and even more on the Black and Gold. Thanks again and have a great evening, man.
Sounds good, y'all. Have a good one.